Phase three is complete for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and now we're entering that brutal stage between OTAs and minicamp and the start of training camp, the things where we really start to see how the team's looking before the 2018-2019 season. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Chris Thornton, local season ticket holder and host and writer for LockedOnJaguars.com. Minicamp and OTAs are officially done. Phase three is in the books. Players are out doing whatever for their next month before training camp starts at the end of July. And we have a few storylines that have come into play after minicamp and OTAs. We have some risers. We had a few signings and roster moves made, as well as we're going to be previewing training camp and those dates and what that means for everybody who would like to attend, although the team hasn't announced the official schedule for open practices for the public, as well as a little bit of an inside look on the Jalen Ramsey video. And we asked you guys to submit some roundtable questions, so I'm going to give you some of those answers, as well as some important ticket stuff per Tad Dickman. Diving right into it, minicamp and OTAs provided a few good glimpses into the team after a few months of just dead stuff, or just kind of clinging for anything we can get. First of all, Blake Bortles, by everybody who's been in the building and has been at these OTAs and minicamp, has looked very good going into second season in this offensive scheme, finally having a little bit of consistency there. In the short snippets of video that we're getting of Blake Bortles, the throwing motion seems to be much improved. The balls that he's throwing, tight spirals almost every time, which compared to his first few seasons were more rare to get a spiral than not, which is not something that you want out of your quarterback. But nonetheless, it seems to have fixed that. But now Blake is on his way back to California, I believe, to go and continue to grind out what he's been trying to fix in that throwing motion, accuracy, and all that. So it'll be really exciting to see how much more he can improve out there in California for this next month or so for when he comes back from training camp. Another person that seems to have been doing very well is Austin Seferian Jenkins. When they made this signing in free agency, I didn't expect ASJ to have that big of an impact on this offense because it seemed like they didn't utilize the tight end position a whole lot. They seemed to always be the second-hand option, it seems. You had Mercedes Lewis, who really was a glorified offensive lineman almost his entire career, if we're being honest, now Green Bay Packer. But from what I can see, Blake Bortles and Austin Seferian Jenkins seem to be on the same page for a lot of things. And also to note that Blake Bortles and ASJ are now locker room neighbors. So that should be maybe something that maybe they're, gearing up for something big this season. I'm contemplating getting ASJ in fantasy football. I think he could actually be a steal. So here we are, June 16th, 2018, and you're getting some fantasy football advice from your favorite Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. And then another guy who seemed to have really stepped up and played a big or made most of his time was linebacker Donald Payne. Miles Jack has been sidelined with an injury, and Donald Payne has made most of all of his reps that he's gotten while Miles Jack has been gone. Had a few pass breakups and two interceptions per Mike Kay. So it's definitely nice to see Payne playing well for Miles Jack. Could he be the new Sam outside? Maybe when Miles Jack comes back, Payne gets bumped outside. So you have Jack, Payne, and Telvin Smith in that linebacking core. Something that I'm sure the team will probably look at. But yeah, going back to Austin Seferian Jenkins, I think he's probably the most exciting story looking at all this because he was in that second wave of free agents, but he was almost kind of like a premier free agent that the Jags got there, signing for that 2-year, $10 million deal. And it's going to be nice to possibly have tight end that gives you offensive value. I know we had Julius Thomas and he panned out to do nothing, but we're not paying Austin Seferian Jenkins Julius Thomas money. We're giving him a nice 2-year deal, team friendly. If he performs well over these 2 years, I'm sure he'd be due for getting a bigger extension if they feel they want to go that way. It seems like they really have a lot of faith in ASJ because the team did nothing at the tight end position in the draft, which was kind of shocking. I figured they were going to go tight end in the first 3 or 4 rounds. They did not. Instead went in different directions, getting guys like Ronnie Harrison in the third, DJ Chark in the second, and even Taven Bryan in the first. Just a bunch of kind of, not head-scratchers, but surprising picks. I didn't think they'd go in those directions at all in the first 3 rounds. At the beginning of the offseason, I was opposed to going defensive tackle early in the draft, but as the draft season went on, I realized that the Jags are going to have to move on some from DTs in the next few years, I think they should try to keep Malik Jackson and Marcell Dareus if possible. They're both 27-28 and still have a lot of tread on those tires. Calais Campbell might surprisingly be the first out of the group. I believe after this year, you can cut him for almost minimal cap loss or dead cap. So Calais could be out on his way out, as much as Jags fans don't like to hear that, unless he maybe restructures or something like that. But there's not going to be enough money. But I think that's why Taven was brought in. Todd Walsh said earlier this offseason that Bryant will be getting plenty of looks at the big end spot this year. So Calais plays the big end in DT, and so is Taven Bryan, their shiny new first-round pick, who has one of the nastiest first steps I've ever seen. So that's a story that we can continue to look at. But right now, Calais is a Jacksonville Jaguar. Taven is a backup and will soon to grow into that role. Coming up, we have training camp to talk about as well. We'll talk about some of those dates and what that means and how far away we actually are from training camp. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients like Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. BlueChew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in a pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. So now that phase 3 is done, I guess we're kind of inching our way slowly towards training camp, the part where it really gets exciting. Training camp where the dog days in Jacksonville. I'm sure they'll probably have a few more practices inside, but Marone and them really like to preach toughness and really use this Florida environment to their advantage. So for us fans, we will be out in the dog days heat of Jacksonville in the middle of July and beginning of August on those metal bleachers, or if you're lucky enough to get those tents in the end zone. But that's where all the fun stuff happens. That's when last year we saw the frustration between Allen Robinson and Mercedes Lewis with Blake Bortles. We had a few scrums during full team practices. Jalen Ramsey, Allen Robinson got into it. I wish I would have been able to get that on video. That would have been great content. But I think it's really going to be interesting. I think the biggest thing that I'm going to be looking for, as probably everybody has the last 3 or 4 years, is how Blake Bortles goes against this defense. Arguably the best defense in football, the best cornerback tandem in football, and A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey going against these really a very mixed up compared to last year wide receiver group, Marquise Lee, Dante Moncrief, who I can go into a little bit. He's been impressive as well. Him and Blake Bortles also seem to be on a page. So Moncrief and ASJ seem to be early favorite targets for Blake Bortles, as well as Marquise Lee. But I think Marquise kind of will fit his role well, probably in the slot. I think they'll probably try to keep him outside to begin with because they paid him all that money. But I think Moncrief and Shark would be really good. Or Cole, Moncrief on the outsides would be a really good offensive fit. But then again, I'm not an offensive coordinator, so I'll leave that to Nathaniel Hackett, who gets paid the big bucks to do this. But ASJ has praised the Jags defense over the last few days, saying, I'm just basically, what better way to practice than going against the best defense in football? He knows if he can compete and perform against his defense in practice, why can't he do it on game day against inferior defenses? And I completely agree. The best way to get better is to go against the best. And I mean, steel sharpening steel, I guess, right now. The Jags defense is probably not used to, at least on a day-to-day basis, from the Jags going against tight end that can actually play tight end like Austin Seferian Jenkins. And they're probably not super used to Blake Bortles being relatively good quarterback right now in practice, because Blake Bortles, as we all know, has not been known for his strong practice play. He was always ready for those five interceptions practices, but he's been good. I can't wait to go out there to train camp and see him throw for the first time in a few months. It'll definitely be interesting to see more than a 30-second snippet from Jaguars.com. But while in phase three, the Jaguars made a few roster moves. They signed a wide receiver and waived an injured defensive tackle, as well as swapped out long snappers. They signed wide receiver DeAndre Smelter to the 90-man roster. Smelter was one of nine tryout players invited to the team's three-day mandatory minicamp. As well as they signed long snapper Andrew East, who replaced Colin Holba, who I predicted was not going to keep his job as long as Carson Tinger kept getting better, but they decided to pull the trigger faster and I guess maybe give Colin Holba a chance to maybe sign with another team, because as Kay said, as Mike Kay, First Coast News said, swapping out a long snapper with the Jaguars who has game experience with one that doesn't seems to bode really well for Carson Tinker and his progress from his ACL injury, his ACL tear that he had last training camp. And then they also signed offensive lineman Sean Hickey. So a few subtle moves, nothing big here. The long snapper thing is almost kind of funny at this point. The Jags now having four different long snappers as their designated starter over the last season, which might be close to an NFL record. I don't even know how you'd look that up, but I'm sure they're probably up there. Having four different long snappers is a lot of long snappers. You go from Carson Tinker to Matt Overton. Matt Overton gets hurt. You go to Colin Holba. Holba leads you to the playoffs, to an eventual exit in the AFC Championship game. And now Holba's gone in phase three, and Andrew East is your starter going into phase four until Carson Tinker comes back and completes the circle. So whatever you're looking at there should be interesting. But training camp is almost here, and we have a training camp schedule. I'll run through that right now. All rookies and first-year players will report to training camp on July 18th. All quarterbacks will report to training camp on July 20th, and the rest of the team will return to TIAA Bank Field on July 25th. Now, we have a total of 20 practices, and then you have preseason. You have those joint practices with the Vikings in week two, week one, actually. I believe that's week, nope, week two. We open against the Saints. So, first practice is slated for Thursday, July 26th from 10:30 to 1 p.m. Friday, July 27th, same time frame. Saturday, July 28th, training camp practice number three from 6:30 to 9 p.m. I'm thinking that might be one of the first practices open to the public, or it might be that one, they not scrimmage, but I believe Shells starts on the 28th, so it'll be kind of like that nighttime practice that we had last year. 6:30 to 9 is great because the sun is going down. You're not dying out there on the fields under the lights. That was when I believe the practice wasn't great for the Jags in that one nighttime practice. And at the end, Marone I believe that's when the public got its first look at Marrone making the team run gassers. So hopefully we don't have to see that this year. Hopefully the team performs much better in practice, which they already seem to have run much better in practice. And just so on. So July 28th, you get that 6-9, and then 30th, 31st, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 5th, 6th, 7th, 9th. You get all those. Or through the 7th, you get those 10:30 to 1 p.m. practices, as well as another 6:30 to 9 on Friday. I'm sure they'll announce a scrimmage sometime in there. I don't know if that's ever been on the previous training camp schedules when they were initially announced, but the team will announce what practices are open to the public in July. Our first preseason game against the New Orleans Saints at home is Thursday, August 9th, so we're getting there, people. We're almost there. Preseason every year seem to get more excited for preseason football. But I think what we're really looking forward to is Wednesday, August 15th. That's when the joint practices with the Minnesota Vikings begin. We dove a little bit into that when we crossed over with Locked On Vikings and Sam Ekstrom. We kind of talked about things we were looking forward to there. Xavier Rhodes and Mike Hughes for the Vikings going against this new receiver group for the Jaguars, and vice versa, seeing Ramsey and Boye going against the likes of, I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, Adam Thielen, that'll be a good show. And then maybe the O-line, Andrew Norwell going against that vicious Minnesota Vikings defense, who added Sheldon Richardson and got stronger, and vice versa, the Jags D-line against a newly formed Vikings offensive line. But training camp is almost here. As we get closer, we'll probably have more storylines. Maybe the Jags will make a trade. I don't know who they would trade or what they would do, but a trade's always interesting in this time of the season, especially if it's of significant value. I don't know who the Jags have that they would trade away at this point. I'm kind of content with the roster. Seems like years past, there was a few guys that you wanted to get rid of for value, and now seems like everybody that's on this roster I'm content with. There's no really dead weight that I know that they'd get rid of. And then the final, going back to training camp, the final practice is Sunday, August 26th. So a full month of training camp under their belts. And then Saturday, September 1st, roster reduction day, when rosters have to be cut down to 53 players by 4 p.m. I believe they made it that the NFL approved that you can go from 90 to 53 instead of 90 to 70 to 53 or something like that. I'll have to look into that, maybe tweet that out. But the Jags finished their preseason campaign against the Buccaneers in Tampa Bay August 30th at 7:30 p.m. I believe that game is a national televised one, which, I mean, doesn't really mean much. One I'm looking forward to is the Falcons game at TIA Bank Field. Week 3 is when all the starters play their most time. But coming up, we'll be talking about that Jalen Ramsey mini-documentary, as well as answering some roundtable questions that you guys submitted to us. Alright, so a few days ago, Jalen Ramsey releases this 8.5-minute mini documentary, and it was really cool. If you guys haven't seen it, we tweeted out from the Locked On page that it was your guys' homework to watch it. Really dives into Jalen Ramsey's offseason when he's not with the Jags, training with his dad, his startings, how it started for Jalen Ramsey, how he got to where he is today. Very well done. I highly recommend it to anybody who is interested in Jalen Ramsey or just kind of wants a deeper look into any type of NFL player's beginnings, which is so unique to each and every individual. They talk about his brother and his dad talk about how Jalen was always the smallest on the court for the longest period of time, but would talk the most trash and was always working every day to back it up. And I think that's somebody you really want to have on your team. Jalen's always talking now, and I mean, I never want him to stop talking unless, God forbid, he were not a Jaguar anymore. Then sure, he can stop. But today he's a Jaguar, so he can keep talking all he wants. But yeah, I highly recommend it. Jalen tweeted it out. It's on our page. Several other outlets have tweeted it out. Adam Schefter quoted it, I believe. So a really cool in-look at Jalen's offseason and kind of just what he's been doing when he's not at, when he wasn't at voluntary OTAs, but he was there for minicamp, and that's all that matters. But now we have a roundtable. We had a roundtable discussion for you guys. Which Jaguars player could push for a starting job? And it's a new segment that we're starting every Friday. We're going to be asking you guys questions on a Monday. Have you all week to submit answers and then or questions, and we'll answer it on best one on Friday. But the question from @_boog1, who's one current backup player that could push for a starter for their job during training camp? And Zach's answer was, while it isn't a specific player that first comes to mind, I believe right guard AJ Cann's starting gig is the least secure across the depth chart. He hasn't ever reached the potential the team had hoped after selecting him in the third round in the 2015 NFL draft, and is the weak link in a very strong offensive line, something that we haven't heard a whole lot of in the past few years. Well, last year, but nonetheless. Will Richardson, offensive tackle out of NC State that the Jaguars drafted in the fourth round, could compete at the right guard position during training camp, but I believe the team sees him as a long-term right tackle, and he can end up being the swing tackle this year instead. Look for guys like Josh Walker, Tyler Shatley, who I would condone to take that right guard spot if Richardson doesn't, and William Poles, who has also been very impressive, so I've heard, to compete with Cam for the right guard job. Mine, editor's note, I wrote this answer before Colin Holbert was released, so I guess I got it right. The Jaguars brought in competition for Carson Tinker after Holbert's release and Andrew East. But my answer was, a guy I feel who could be in jeopardy to losing their starting job is long snapper Colin Holbert. Holbert joined the Jaguars in 2017 after replacement long snapper Matt Overton was placed on IR following a shoulder injury. Holbert was signed and played for the Jaguars to finish the 2017 season and postseason. However, with almost a year passing since Carson Tinker's ACL injury, Tinker could be in line to retake the starting long snapper job and push Colin Holbert and now Andrew East out. Demetrius answered, a couple of young players that could push a potential starter this offseason come from the linebacker and right guard positions in Donald Payne and Josh Walker, respectively. Walker, who signed with the team at the start of the 2017 season and played in two games last year, has been taking first-team reps in place of an injured AJ Cann during OTAs and minicamp over players such as Will Richardson and interior backup Tyler Shatley. Donald Payne is another up-and-coming player at the linebacker position who could push someone such as Blair Brown, who is competing at the Sam linebacker position this season. Payne has performed well in his role at middle linebacker, recording a couple of pass breakups and two interceptions with the first team during OTAs and training camp, per Mike Kay of First Coast News, and could push for a starting job this summer. Rory's answer was DJ Hayden is the Jaguars' starting nickel cornerback, but could be at risk for losing a starting position at nickel on the talent behind him. Jalen Myrick fits better at an outside corner with his long speed, but could impress enough to win starting reps at slot with the boundary positions being locked up. Tyler Pavin played well in the Bills playoff game and was the star of last year's training camp, where he recorded 8 interceptions. Quentin Meeks is a high-floor rookie cornerback who could get some looks at the position if he makes the roster. Quentin Meeks was a initial undrafted free agency signing with those 11 other guys immediately following the draft. I expect Hayden to be the starter if he can take advantage of his opportunities in training camp. If he doesn't, it's a toss-up between Myrick and Patman as to who could get the starting job. And then our other Zach, we're all aware that strong safety Barry Church is probably gone next year and replaced by 2018 third-round pick Ronnie Harrison. However, I think there's a strong possibility that happens this year. Perhaps not in training camp, but as the season wears on. Defensive coordinator Todd Walsh has already come out and said that Harrison has been better than they expected when they drafted him. Church is on the wrong side of 30, and his role is not complicated or hard to replace. He's primarily a box safety, which Harrison can easily do. The safety's jobs in our defense are also made a lot easier with Ramsey and Boye on the outside. The only thing you'd lose by playing Harrison is the veteran presence and maybe the processing speed. Harrison brings more range, more athleticism, and more versatility to even play both safety spots. It may be an unpopular opinion, but I would love to see Harrison in place of Church this year. So that's our Jaguars roundtable for last week. Make sure to submit your questions to the @LockedOnJaguars Twitter page for a question that you want to get answered, or you could DM any of us on the Locked On Jaguars page, and we'll be sure to forward that. Before we wrap up, Tad Dickman came out today with some good ticket news for the Jaguars, also something that we're not used to in years past. The Jaguars have officially sold out the lower-level single-game tickets for the home opener against the New England Patriots on September 16th and Sunday Night Football game against the Pittsburgh Steelers on November 18th. In addition, the Jaguars have added over 10,000 new season ticket members for the 2018 season, the most in the NFL. Additionally, nearly 90% of 2017 season ticket members, including myself, have renewed for the 2018 season. Reminder, no more tarps. This means an additional 3,501 fans at each Jaguars home game at TIA Bank Field. So, a little high note to end this week on. The Jaguar, 10,000 more people in the bank. That sounds great, which means I'm going to have to get to my seat even earlier. I'll be right at the gate. I'm usually in my seat by 11:30. People hate it, but I'd rather be in my seat waiting than in line waiting. So there you have it. Phase 3 is complete. We now anxiously await the return of the team for Phase 4 in training camp. We'll be back with you guys next week with any type of developments or interesting storylines that arise for the Jaguars. Remember to follow the Jaguars on Twitter @LockedOnJaguars, as well as myself on Twitter @MisterCristofo. We're on Facebook. We post there. Get that fan count up. I'm pretty sure we're only at like 30 people on that Facebook page. As well as to subscribe to the Locked On Jaguars podcast anywhere that you can get podcasts, Google Play Store, Spotify, TuneIn, Megaphone, anywhere you can get your podcast, I'm sure we're on there. And you guys have a great weekend, and go Jags.